Hello, welcome to this episode of My Fermented Life. Thanks for joining us as we document the journey of an entrepreneur and his family as they pursue their dreams of building a food and beverage brand. Follow along as we discuss events, lessons, and meet some really cool people along the way. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by Madge's Food, making fermented food and beverages tastier and healthier, 1 billion microbes at a time. And now, the king of kimchi, the baron of Bloody Mary, and the Maharaji of micheladas, your host, Michael Miller.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of My Fermented Life. This is your host, Mike Miller. Today is September 7th, 2018. And thanks for listening to this episode. This episode is kind of unique. We're actually going remote today. We're going outside. We're going to be broadcasting, recording this live from, not live, but recording this from one of the top farmers markets in the country, the Pearls Farmer Market. But first, just want to thank you again for tuning in. Please share, subscribe, comment on Facebook or Twitter at My Fermented Life. Or also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Anchor, or several other podcasts. Even go back and subscribe to episode one to understand what we're about. Follow along. Yeah, we're actually out here today at the famous, it's called the Pearl Farmers Market, which is at the Pearl Development. This is located just north of the famous Riverwalk in San Antonio. If you're into urban development or architecture, this is probably one of the best success stories of redevelopment and revitalization that there is. They've taken an old brewery, which we all like beer, or at least I do, Pearl, which is a really good beer, and they created housing, retail, restaurants, even the CIA culinary schools here, commercial, offices, and every weekend we have a farmer's market. So if you're ever in town, it is definitely a fun, family-friendly area, both Saturday and Sunday, completely different experience, and definitely come hungry, ready to try things and enjoy beautiful, beautiful location. I stress often about the benefits of farmer's market. Today, I wanted to kind of mix things up a little bit. Plus, today is a good opportunity. It's raining today. Great opportunity to change our interviews today. You'll notice a little more background noise than normal because we're outside and it's raining. I guess this is the fun of remote recording. We're going to do little mini interviews today over maybe, you know, four of the vendors and entrepreneurs out here today. So sit back and enjoy another episode. First interview, what's your name and what company are you with?
My name is Asad Siddiqui and the name of the company is Rice Rice.
And what's your product?
We make artisan vegan rice pudding using only coconut, organic coconut milk, which is lactose-free, egg-free, and non-dairy.
And why did you start this company?
Well, the kids grew up and I couldn't do much to keep myself busy, so this came pretty handy.
How long have you been doing this?
We are getting close to 3 years now.
And what's your biggest challenge?
Things are changing every day in the food scene, so the biggest challenge is to stay ahead of the curve and try to anticipate what is the next best thing you can do for your customers.
What are you most proud of?
That I started this thing.
What's your best product or favorite flavor?
Well, we don't make anything which is not the best, and I cannot tell you which is my most favorite because that privilege belongs to my customers. My job is to do the best I can and then they can decide.
What's next for you?
To take it to the next level and try to make as many people happy as I possibly can.
What's some advice that you could give to maybe somebody at home that's thinking about starting their own food business?
Well, starting a food business or any business for that matter sounds very romantic, but let me tell you, there is a lot of things that people don't talk about, and there are challenges every hour, and you have to stay either ahead of them or have the resilience or the persistence not to give up when they start hitting you, and I bet you they will.
How can we reach out to you or learn more about you?
Well, you can stop at the Pearl Farmers Market. I'm here every Sunday from 10 to 2. That's the best way to reach me.
Well, hey, thanks, Asad. It was nice meeting you.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Okay, now interview number two. What's your name and what company are you with?
My name is Matt Dixon, and my wife and I are the owners of Wildflower Caramel Companies.
All right, a candy guy. What's your product?
We sell handcrafted caramel.
Why did you start this?
We started Wildflower Caramel Company out of the inspiration that my grandmother had given me. She used to make caramel for me every holiday season and during my birthday. And after she passed away, I asked my wife to make a batch of caramel, and that's how it all got started.
How long have you been doing this?
We've been in business now for almost 3 years.
What's your biggest challenges?
Biggest challenges would be, right now, Ellen is the only one who really knows how to make our recipes. And so it has been challenging when she has needed to be mom at home or been sick and we've been out of production.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, man. We've come a long way in the last 2.5 years, but one of our most recent things that we might be most proud of is we were featured in Southern Living Magazine as the editor's choice in the 2018 Food Awards.
What's your best product?
A couple of our top sellers are our salted caramel and maple bourbon.
What's next for you?
The next thing may be moving into caramel sauces for ice cream and coffee.
What are some advice that you could give to somebody at home that may be thinking about starting up a food?
I would say just do it. Just get out there and give it a try. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
And how can we reach you or learn more about you and your company?
You can find us at wildflowersa.com and also look us up on Instagram at wildflowercaramel.co.
Oh, thank you very much. And back to interview. Here's interview number 3. What's your name and what company are you with?
My name is Marianne Young, and I am owner of the business Grain Free Haven.
What's your products?
All my products are grain free. It means that there's no rice, soy, oats, corn, wheat, anything like that. I also avoid soy. So all the products are gluten free. Grain free, and most of them are sugar free. So people who have sensitivities to gluten, or a lot of people who have celiac, or also keto or low carb diets.
Why did you start this company?
About 6 years ago, my husband got diagnosed with celiac. It took us a long time to figure that out. He was first diagnosed with MS, but we did a little more testing and discovered it was celiac. So he was also sensitive to grains. So we just got rid of all the grains, and we found out that the nut and seed flours that I use are nutritionally dense, and it was actually better for us. It tasted good, and it was good for us, and so we just started eating like that.
How long have you been doing this?
I started the business about 3 years ago.
What's your biggest challenges?
Some of the biggest challenges are just being able to make sure food is convenient for people who have more limited diets. Because a lot of people can't have bread. It's not easy to run into a restaurant and eat safe foods of their own special diets. I always try to, I get feedback from customers about things that they want or things that they might be looking for, and that's resulted in a number of my products.
What are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of being able to not only help my husband eat a healthier diet, but also our kids, our daughter. And we have 2 adoptive sons that are 11 and 15. And we've been able to show them that they enjoy the food. So it's really nice to help them learn how to be healthy.
What's your best product?
Well, I have 2 products that are pretty popular. One is Earth Focaccia. It's made with coconut flour and golden and black seed meal as a base. It has a very similar texture to traditional focaccia, which is an Italian flatbread. People like using it for sandwiches and just to dip in olive oil like you would in an Italian restaurant. My other one are coconut macaroons and chocolate coconut macaroons. I use pure stevia powder to sweeten them. So they're nice little treats for people who are on the keto diet or some people who have diabetes. It's something they can have a treat and it's not going to affect their blood sugar.
What's next for you?
Well, what's next is we're trying to add some new products as we go and learn new things. One thing we're going to do is a base for a tamale masa. So instead of with corn, it's a grain-free version, and you can barely tell the difference when you eat it, so we're excited to introduce that. We've been working under the Texas Cottage Food Law, which allows cooking in the home and selling to the public. The next larger step for the company is to find a commercial kitchen and be able to expand the business for shipping and providing to restaurants and grocery stores to get our products out there because people really like them and are really happy that they're around, and so we want to get them out to more people.
What's some advice that you could give to somebody at home that may be thinking about opening up their own food business?
Don't give up, because sometimes you can get frustrated if you're looking for customers and to get the word out. It's sometimes hard to be a small business when you're doing all the marketing and all the advertising and all the cooking and all the selling, and it can be overwhelming. So don't rush yourself and take your time and make sure you're making a good product and your customers are happy, and it'll build steadily, and then you'll have a solid base.
How can we reach out to you or learn more about you and your company?
Well, I have a website. It's grainfreehaven.com. On that website, you can get information about products. You can place orders for delivery. And you can also order my cookbook, which is called Grain Free Haven, the Cookbook. We got really original with that title. And you can always contact me through email or by phone. And all that information is on the website, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, great. That was kind of interesting doing a different round of mini interviews. You know, the cool thing about this was maybe these are a few companies that maybe a couple years ago were sitting in the same spot that you may be about evaluating whether or not, you know, you like to do a food business. And these are three people that primarily still do this on weekends. Some of them are starting to take those next steps into wholesale. I find it very interesting, especially that last interview, you know, that she started this, you know, grain-free business out of the need to service her own family. Her husband had an issue. It's kind of, you know, she identified that problem within her own circle of influence and then decided to do something about it, and it's been taking it to the next level. It's really kind of cool. You know, I think it's really a level of business we don't often hear, a really small size business that's just launching, fairly young. So now let's get to the Madge's moment, part of the episode where we like to share and document what's going on with Madge's in our story. This last week is again, I always look at every week as being very interesting, right? You know, the kind of personally, I was injured this last weekend. I have an issue with tendonitis or plantar fasciitis, one of the two. I wasn't able to really walk, let alone stand, so I had to unfortunately cancel all my tastings in Dallas, which is really unfortunate, especially with the Labor Day weekend. It ended up being a blessing. Come Sunday, our company van blew a motor, and I could just imagine myself being up in Dallas, stranded with a blown motor, and all the money I would have spent to get it back here. You know, money that would not have been allocated just to keep repairing a vehicle. Kind of forced us to do something we've been lazy about, you know, and buy a new car. It's been nice not having a car payment in years, and that way we can funnel all the money we need to back into Madge's to continue the growth. But we realized that it was time, you know, buying a new car. A mixed blessing, right? You know, sometimes unexpected happenings turn out to be blessings and was for the best of us. And I think that's very true with my experience in this food business is sometimes, you know, in that desire to want to grow or do the next thing, sometimes things happen where we can't. More often than not, I've learned that things happen for a reason and it's to our benefit. You know, whether or not we try to get into that store and it doesn't work out, and maybe because we couldn't handle the production or maybe we can't support it. The more I grow into stores, especially at our small size of company, the more I'm starting to realize we need to control our growth to what we can support. What's the point of being 150 stores or 200 or 300 if we can't support it? I think strategically, that's something you have to take an account for and plan for. Tactically, you know, if you grow, you got to support those stores. I've been a big proponent of it's great to get in the store, great to get on that shelf, but it don't mean squat if it's not moving. You know, the other thing is we had a little Pearl, which is a great little farmer's market. Obviously, we talked about in the episode. you know, it's just meeting people, right? You know, I love hearing customers. It's whether you're in the store doing demos or out there, the more you connect to your customers, and that's what I like so much, right? I like connecting with the customers. I get that feedback, right? And I hear people, like, I think I met some guy that was really salt sensitive, right? And those are the hard people to deal with in our business, right? Because salt is such an important ingredient in our products. You know, he was saying, hey, look, I've never been able to find a kimchi that I really like. They all seem to be very salty. And he tasted ours. He goes, yeah, it's still kind of on the salty side for me. Wow, I can't even taste it. I guess I don't even really taste the salt anymore. You know, we're working on kind of a new fermented juice with some vegetables. And we're kind of really going off the deep end and kind of nerding out here with alternative salts. And what I mean by that is non-sodium chloride salts. Something a lot of people know, I don't know too many people in the fermentation industry or any of those who are fermenteds, are really messing with non-sodium chloride salt. We've done a proprietary blend with our new beet and tomato juice. And I said, well, great. You know, this is a great opportunity since you're salt sensitive. I want you to test this product out. Give me an understanding of how salty it is or you know, bitter or whatever. He drank it and he was like, oh my gosh, I really like this. And yeah, no, I don't really taste the salt. That was awesome, right? Because that was somebody that was specifically somebody we were trying to target, is those who are a little more concerned about their sodium. We're right there. That's really exciting. Challenges is B is these non-alternative salts is cost and then securing a source, right? I mean, sourcing is such an issue at every stage that we grow, especially these salts. One time we were trying to put a salt in there that is widely available in Texas. Problem is they typically sell it by, I believe they said 40,000 pounds at a time, so a truckload or even a train car load. Obviously, that's a little over our head. We don't need it. You know, sometimes in your scaling, you know, you're going to source many times as you grow, whether it's from, you know, when you first start, maybe you're sourcing from an HEB, and then the next layer into a, you know, maybe a wholesaler, then eventually, you know, a shipper or even eventually maybe the farm itself, and then before long, you know, some of these big companies actually contract out farmers, lock them in. It's something that we continuously learn along the way, but it does come down to economies of scale, right? The larger we can source, the more we get a better price break, which increases our, you know, marginal revenue on the product. So what else is going on? We got a new store that's going to demo our product, a new grocery store chain that we're sending some sample products to three locations to assess. Really excited about that. It's kind of a smaller chain, but I think somebody's really up our strike zone as we continue to expand into that market. Yeah, you know, it's just things are going. You know, I'm ready to really rock and roll. I'm trying to find a slowly build that team. Still looking very much for people to help us build the Dallas market and the Houston market. You know, it just gets overwhelming, right? We're kind of outgrowing the current team that we have, right, which is really small. Kind of overwhelms me at times. But we'll get through it. I'm excited. Like, let me quote a customer that told me, Dick, man, this is the best kimchi. Where I'm at, totally blows away anything sold at Whole Foods. And I'm like, hello, Whole Foods, can you hear that? That's an endorsement. This is what's going on. Call me. So if you're listening, Whole Foods, hey, give us a call. You know where to find us at, of My Fermented Life or Madge's Food. Anyway, I think that wraps up this Madge's moment and coming to the end of our episode. Again, thank you for tuning in. I really enjoy this, and I hope you're enjoying this too. Please subscribe, share this, comment, you know, My Fermented Life, Twitter, on Facebook. One of these days I'll get a web page up. Until then, have a good day. Look forward to next week. Next week should be another great interview. We've got some really great interviews coming up for the next probably month or so we've got scheduled out. A lot of different people will start taking this podcast to interview people up even in Austin. I've met a lot of great food business owners up in Austin, entrepreneurs, great community. Really will talk highly about that. It's kind of an honor that San Antonio and Austin are really close together. We're kind of like these sister cities. Definitely the food scene up in Austin is off the hook, even though I'm really, really amazed at what's happening in San Antonio, especially on the, you know, originality aspect. It's just amazing. We've got some really cool things going down here in San Antonio, but also I think it's a little less expensive to start. But anyway, definitely stay tuned.
And again, iTunes, Spotify, subscribe, go back and listen to previous, especially if you're a first-time listener, go back and listen to episode number one. That will introduction, kind of give an understanding of where we're coming from. Otherwise, have a good weekend and enjoy.